lonely conservative Lutherans are tempted to find allies in equally conservative Reformed Christians who, like them, are committed to biblical inspiration and inerrancy. Traditionally, our differences have boiled down to whether the sacramental elements of bread and wine are actually Christ's body and blood. More basic are conflicting views of Christ's ascension into heaven. The ascension provides the Reformed with the biblical basis for their belief that the man Jesus is in heaven and can no longer be present on earth. Lutherans believe that Jesus' ascension has nothing to do with going from one place to another. Rather, in his ascension, he went from a reality marked by time and space to that divine reality which knows of no boundaries or borders. With his resurrected body made alive by the Holy Spirit, Jesus descended into hell to disarm Satan. During 40 days, he was seen on earth by his appointed messengers, and then by his ascension, he was taken up into the glory of the Father. Because we think of the ascension differently, Lutherans and the Reformed can both recite the Apostles' Creed and mean different things. For them, the Holy Spirit becomes the surrogate for an immobile Jesus who is tucked away, almost imprisoned, in a spatial heaven. For us, God is present only in the man Jesus, and we know of no other God apart from him. Jesus' ascension brings other problems to the surface. Like the transfiguration and the resurrection, prominent scholars claim the ascension was simply another way in which early Christians glorified Jesus. It was only another resurrection myth. Apart from these problems, the ascension does not have a prominent place in the general Christian consciousness. Our Roman Catholic friends seem to give more importance to the Assumption of Mary. Quite honestly, for the New Testament, the resurrection and not the ascension is the all-encompassing event. Paul and Peter's epistle speak of the ascension dogmatically, but without narrative description. John places Jesus' ascension to the Father in the moment of the crucifixion. Matthew and the majority of the manuscripts of Mark have no record of the ascension at all. If without Luke, we would have to adjust our celebration of Christmas, without Luke, the ascension would have to become more of a minor festival than it is already now. But the third evangelist provides a more than adequate compensation for what is lacking elsewhere. Luke's brilliant literary talent provides enough drama to emblazon a portrait on our minds of how that event looked. And by doing this, he provided an indispensable link between Jesus' earthly life and the earthly life of the church. According to Luke, Jesus ascends at a particular place and at a particular time, and is probably observed by more people than in any other resurrection appearance. He parted from them and was carried into heaven. Jesus actually left them. That's all fine, but chalk one up for the Reformed. He did go away. But we Lutherans have our indispensable champion in the first evangelist. For Matthew, Jesus never left. He stayed around. Lo, I am with you to the end of the age. So the unwinnable battle never stops between the two major forces in Protestant Christianity. To support their philosophical axiom, probably borrowed from Aristotle, that only one object can occupy one space, the Reformed have Luke on their side. And Lutherans fight Reformed philosophical fires with their own flamethrowers. Jesus is present everywhere, or at least everywhere he wants to be. That's what we call the omnipresence or the volipresence of Jesus' human nature. No quarrel with Lutheran, classical Lutheranism, but Mark provides the synthesis between Matthew and Luke. So then the Lord Jesus, at least the Markan ending does, so then the Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that attended it. Amen. But being taken up into God's glory, by being taken up into God's glory by his ascension, Jesus filled and completely occupied every aspect of the church's life. Not in spite of his ascension, but because of his ascension, Jesus can say without contradiction, I am with you to the end of the age. The man who gave us a supper in the upper room is present in this room and every room where the gospel is preached and the sacraments are distributed. He is present in every aspect of the church's life as the preacher and the preached word, as baptizer and priest, as font, altar, sacramental water, bread, and wine. Even today, the apostolic preaching is still confirmed to us by sacramental signs, as Mark said. I suspect that some of our hearts may still have to be purged of the reformed leaven. Yes, bread and wine are really Jesus' body and blood, but for the rest of the time, Jesus is confined to Calvin's heaven. But that's not the way Mark puts it. So then the Lord Jesus was taken up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by signs that attended it. By his ascension, God has made us his co-workers. And finally, here finally, we Lutherans have come upon a synergism we can accept. Wherever we preach Jesus, Jesus is preaching. The Lord worked with them and confirmed this message by signs that attended it. Or you can choose Matthew, lo, I am with you to the end of the age.